Father, thank you for that relationship that we have in you as you drew us to yourself, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, that there is a bond that formed, and it's called the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we came in. We became family. We were drawn to that very place in God. We thank you, Lord God, that even in this month of April, we'll be talking about the cross of Jesus. We'll be talking about the friendship that he has for this world, that God loves us so very much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would never perish but have everlasting life. So God, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you are drawing each and every person to you, Lord. I pray for awakening, Lord God, of people who are being drawn, that they would see and realize that the hand of God is upon their lives. So we thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for these songs to encourage us and to bless us. And now as we turn to your word, Lord, we just need it. We need your word. We're hungry for it, Lord. We are thirst for more of you, Lord, your righteousness. So God bless us as we go to your word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Welcome to church. Thank you, worship team. That was great. You know, I'm really grateful for, yes, I'm really grateful. You know, if anybody works the hardest in the church, it's the worship team every Sunday. They come in here early practicing. They sometimes have practices on Thursday night. I think yesterday morning you had a practice yesterday morning, and they come and lead us in our worship. And I don't think that we realize all that they do, but they do a wonderful thing in the ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. And coming up here Sunday after Sunday, they've got a tough job, and I'm really appreciative of all they do for us and the blessings that we have to be able to sing these songs. Amen? Praise God. The kids can head off to Sunday school. They already are. Good stuff. They know. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Amen. Well, would you turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 6? That was an old chorus that we just sang, draw me, Lord. And I'll come running after you. I can't remember when it was written many years ago. I think it was Lincoln Brewster. Did he have a hand in that? Or not sure either. It's kind of one of those songs that's been around for, how many? 30 years old. Okay. Okay, thank you. Yeah, it's an old chorus, and I love it every time I hear it. It's not a lengthy chorus, but it gets the truth across. I like some of those shorter choruses that just punch you, you know, and they get you the truth across to you, and you really feel it. So today I want to talk about drawing. Is it okay if I put this up, this kind of little thing with God and Holy Ghost magnet? Anybody ever heard that song? Holy Ghost power is moving just like a magnet. Holy Ghost power is moving just like a magnet, moving here, moving there, just like the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost power is moving just like a magnet. Anybody ever heard that? Now you did. Huh? I've sung it before. It's a good one. I like it. Anyway, the Holy Ghost power is moving just like a magnet. And, you know, it's hard to believe that we are living in this spiritual realm that all around us right now, there are radio waves and TV waves and things bombarding all around, and all you have to do is have a TV or radio and you pick up the signals that are being transmitted from some tower somewhere, go through the air, land to your house and to your instrument that you have. It's like Wi-Fi. You know, you sit here with an iPad or a tablet or something else in your phone, and you can go on Wi-Fi, just picks up the signal. You can see the bars come up, how strong it is, and you can really get onto these things, which are really neat. And as you think about that, that's the way God moves. There's the signals of God all around this world right now, and it's really powerful. God is drawing people. Did you know that there's only the hardness of the heart that prevent anything like that from happening? So as I go to John chapter 6, and I read in verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Thank God. You know, I look at John chapter 6, and John chapter 6 is a very powerful chapter in your Gospel of John, our gospel messages. And I want to speak to you this morning, something very basic, something very profound, though, and something that's not going to knock you off the pew this morning, but something that's going to really stir you, because I believe that we as Christians, we know the Word of God. How many times do we neglect the Word of God? How many times can we put the Word of God aside and say, yeah, I know it should be done that way, but I just don't feel like doing it, or we don't feel spiritual that day or something. I believe that we're losing out a lot of the power of God that He wants us to live in, move in, walk in, because we neglect the Word of God. And so I just want to give you some basic things this morning that will really kind of bring back to your remembrance things that you and I should do in our life. Amen? Judy, you are finished working. How do you feel? She came in this morning and she said, I've got laryngitis. Like, did you talk a lot on Friday, your last day? Or, yeah. It's kind of nice. You can't talk a lot right now, isn't that? Sorry, Judy. No, it's all she can do is this. Laryngitis. Praise God. Well, she's working for Jesus full time now. Amen. I mean, not that she wasn't before, but now it's really coming to the place. And that's the way we all are, is working for Jesus. And we all want more and more of him. Amen? So as I look at John chapter 6, I look at the way that Jesus conversed with people. I find it really interesting. I was listening to Ravi Zacharias on the way down this morning, John. I like him too. He really says some neat stuff. And, you know, he was talking about the man that came and showed a coin to him and says, so what about this? Should we give to God or Caesar? Like, you know, what do we do? And Jesus said some profound words. Well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. And Ravi said, you know, we're left with that. He says, the next question should have been asked. So whose mark do you have on you? You know, really, Jesus, you know, and the man should have conversed a little longer. You know, we're talking about a coin, we're talking about this, and we're talking, but whose mark have you got on you? Who are you living for? And I love the way that Jesus speaks, because he opens up a well of understanding and things that aren't said in the Word of God, but that open us up to where we should be or could be in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you read the Word of God, if you read it quickly and you don't study it, you may miss some of these things that are really deep and hidden in the Word of God. So as I look at Jesus and some of the things that he causes this intrigue as he talks, and the questions he says and the things that he says, and it seems that the same outcome that Christ represents to anyone who begins to listen to his words is kind of like basic, like how do you react to Jesus? How do you react to him? I mean, if we could look for a dominant subject of John chapter 6, most likely you would find that Jesus presents himself here as the bread of life. The bread of life. I am the bread of life, he says. The bread come down from heaven to earth. Comparing himself to the manna of the Old Testament, where they were sustained by, out in the wilderness, all these thousands and thousands of Jewish people out there being sustained in a desert. How do you keep them? Well, God brought down manna, and they went out and collected it every day, twice as much on Saturday or Friday, sorry, their Sabbath, but twice as much so that they could sustain it through Sabbath so they wouldn't have to work. And so Jesus compared himself to that manna. I am the bread come down from heaven to this earth. Now, that must have really opened up a real keg of worms as he said that to these people listening to him and comparing himself. Let me go to some verses here in chapter 6, beginning at verse 41, where Jesus begins to talking about them. It says in verse 41, the Jews then complained about him, that's Jesus, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Can you see the intrigue that must have been caused by what Jesus said here and in the thought process that began to kind of fascinate around his words as he spoke these things? But it also leads to this division that people don't want to believe in Jesus just because of what he says. In John chapter 6, verse 52, if you were to go down a little later on in John's Gospel, chapter 6, it says, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They quarreled themselves. They had a big debate. They were actually arguing over what Jesus had to say. It's interesting, isn't it, how people, when they hear the words of Jesus, all the reactions and the things that happen to us. And then it says, and a little later on, many followers of Jesus were of split opinions about Jesus too. If you go down to verse 60, it says, many of his disciples, and that's not the 12 disciples, but many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said, does this offend you? When he says this to them, that I'm the bread of heaven, I've come down from heaven, I'm the bread of life. Then one of those verses that brings a kind of a bad taste. How many know the number 666? Like if you go to John chapter 6:6, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They couldn't take it anymore. Listening to these words of Jesus, and I always feel that, you know, when you bring the gospel to your workplace, and when you bring it to your family and your friends, that's the mixed reactions you will get as well. Every time you bring Jesus into any situation, people are either going to get mad at you, they're going to start quarreling, they're going to say, get out of my house, or tell you to go somewhere else, but they're going to say something to you which probably is not a good thing. But I love it when people start saying, well, could you tell me more about Jesus? I like that reaction to the gospel message. You know, these 12 disciples, says in later on, John chapter 6, that Jesus said, do you also want to go away, to his 12 disciples? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Reminds me of Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus came to his disciples and asked them, who do men say that I am? And they began to tell him. But then Peter stepped up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where else can we go? Who could we turn to? Did you know that Jesus is everything that you and I need in our life? Who could we turn to? Where else can you find everything that you need in this life? You know, I started thinking about that, but he said, I am the bread come down from heaven. I started thinking about all those I am statements of Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. John chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am. John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. We need that. John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We need that. John chapter 15, I am the true vine. We need to plug into him. He's everything that you and I need. That's why he said these statements, not just for us to be able to read in our Bibles, for us to connect to God in every part of our life so we can connect to him and know him and have that deep relationship. So Jesus is the bread of life come down from heaven, from the Father to this world. Heaven dropped into our lap, so to speak. Jesus came down, just dropped into this world for you and I to feast upon. He's the bread of life. Bread of life. Are you eating? I think a particular interest and intrigue must have been the statement which placed Jesus right between the Father and right between earth. He placed himself right in between. Right in that place between the God who they all claimed that they knew and all mankind. He placed himself right in between. In other words, if you want to live, you have to eat of me. That's what Jesus is saying. If you want eternal life, you must come through me. If you want relationship with the Father has ordained me and sent me to be the go-between, the mediator, the one who's going to bring you to the Father's heart. I am that one. So that's why it says, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in that last day. That's in the New King James Version. I like the Amplified, because the Amplified always kind of stretches it out, brings in more words, and makes it a little bit longer. The Amplified Version says, no one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me attracts and draws him and gives him the desire to come to me, and then I will raise him up from the dead at that last day. Isn't that beautiful? I love the Amplified Version. It's so good. That word draw, you know, you're probably thinking draw picture, something like that. That's not what it's talking about here. It's not drawing a picture. But the word draw in this sense and the definition of the word is to attract, to pull in, to entice. Anybody here a fisherman? Anybody heard of the term lure? Lure, bring, to receive, leave a mark. If you've ever been touched by Jesus, you've got the mark inside, haven't you? Persuaded. I like all those things. You know, when you come to that's the dictionary definition of the word draw. When you come to the actually Greek word, helkio, means to drag. Did you know that God is trying to drag us into the kingdom? Trying to get us there. He's doing everything he can to get the scales off eyes of people who've been blinded so much by the God of this world. God is trying to get you into the kingdom of God. He's dragging you. He's drawing you. He's trying to compare Have you ever been compared with, oh, that didn't work, that didn't work in the world, that didn't work in the world, maybe I should try Jesus? Have you ever heard people say that? It's kind of like comparing, you know, trying to figure it out. Well, he's trying to get you to compare. He's trying to draw you, force you, persuade you, try to get you into the kingdom of God. And it's interesting that word is many used a few times in our New Testament. But here Jesus gives us a unique word, giving to the drawing power of God, showing that it's an ability and power of God to draw someone to himself. This is the power of God to draw someone to himself, but can only be done through Jesus. Only through Jesus. Jesus says, no one can come to me. And therefore, Jesus places himself in that very important role of being the middle man, the mediator between heaven and earth. No one can come to me unless the Father sent me draws him. As Jesus says that, you know, to these people, it must have blown apart their thoughts, their theology, their understanding, their Old Testament understanding. Must have blown it all apart. Do you know, I like it when people who are religious get blown apart. You know, they have all the, well, I go to church on Sunday, and I do all that and everything else. And you know, they go through all the list of the things that they like to do that are all religious. And they say those things, and it's really interesting when they say those things. But I like Jesus because he just blows religion right apart. It's not about religion. And he's looking at all these people. Even the Pharisees got so upset with him. Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? And they look at him and just kind of write him off as some other person that kind of rubs shoulders with them. You know, of all the religions of our world who say that there is their way that is the way of life, I want to let you know that Jesus contradicts them. You know, it's not about some reaching some karma. It's not about talking to Vishnu or Allah or something else in this world or finding a higher place in paradise. Jesus, by these words, breaks down and breaks apart everything that man connives and conceives and brings it right down to the very nitty-gritty. If you're going to come to the Father, you have to come through me because he's drawing you through me. He's drawing you through me, says Jesus. You cannot find someone else. You cannot even look anywhere else. You must place your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will draw you to the heart of the Father. And so God the Father loves this world so very much that he laid down his son for you and I. He gave his son so that you and I would believe in his son, and we would not perish, and we would have everlasting life. Isn't that great? John 3:16 is so powerful a verse. This is quite a thing about being drawn. Quite a thing about being drawn. I like being drawn by God. How about you? Every human being in this world is being drawn right now to God. Every human being is being drawn to God. There's nobody exempt from the drawing power of God Almighty. Everybody is under that influence of God right now in this whole wide world. You know, I love reading articles that come across my emails and so forth, articles published in the last little while. You know, I don't know if any of you have seen any of these, but they talk about Muslims having dreams and visions about Jesus. I think that's pretty cool. I say that's the drawing power of God, that while you're in your bed sleeping away, you have a dream about Jesus, and you're a Muslim. You've been raised in Islamic stuff all your life and all the doctrines and everything else, and you're having a dream about Jesus. Where did that come from? That came from the hand of God. Why is that? Because we are being drawn. You know, I just saw something this week in the news about how in Europe, many of the refugees are coming to Christ. Isn't that beautiful? You know, these people have been scattered from their countries and their homes and everywhere else. They're plastered in all these countries. They don't know where they're going to. And all of a sudden, they're coming to Christ. God uses all kinds of things to draw people to himself. You know, I shared on Wednesday night in our study of the meaning of marriage that many years ago when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, I was in a real mess in the world. I had bad friends, bad influences, and everything else. And I need to get into a good sphere of friends. I need to connect to a church. We need to get around things. And you know, one of my first prayers when I got saved on December 23rd of 1973 is, I said, God, you know, one of these days I'd like to run into a woman who believes in you. Not run into her, but to meet her. You know, I don't want to run her over on the road. I said, God, I'd like to meet somebody who can maybe influence my life for you. Within 2 months of that prayer, I was invited to a birthday party, a blind date, which I didn't want to go. Neither one of us were blind, but we saw each other. And I really believe that was God answering my prayers. know, you think about marriage, and I believe that God drew Betty and I together. He answers prayers. God has this drawing power. He drew me to Betty. I believe it was an answer to prayer. But interesting, after God drew us together, we got married, we draw together to ourselves now. And that's the way it is when we come into Christ. You know, God did his work, and how it was for Betty and I, we had to do our work now and make this marriage work. That's the way things are in life. If you're getting drawn to God and you get saved, now it's up to you to make this thing work. If you're going to make your salvation mean something to you in your life, you've got to put all the work into it. You just don't say, okay, God, could you open the Bible, please? God, could you do this? God, could you start the car for me and take me to church? God, could you do this? God, could you do this? No, you're hungry for God, you'll get to church. You're hungry for the Word of God, you'll get to the Word of God. You're hungry for prayer, you'll get to prayer. You want more of God, you'll dig deeper in the Scriptures. You want it, you'll get it, because God will provide. But it's up to you. God drew you to the cross. He presented his son to you. He gave you the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what else could he do for us? He drew us to himself. Now it's up to you and I to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I thank God for the relationship that in Betty and I has grown deeper and stronger. Why? Because we put effort into it. We put work into it. We said we're not going to do anything that would take away from this marriage. We even said that on our wedding night in our honeymoon suite that we said divorce is not a word that we talk about. We're going to work this thing out. No matter how rough it gets along the waters of life, we're going to work this thing out. We're going to make it work. We're going to make people see that there's a marriage in Christ that can work. So we made up our minds. We made up our minds that we're going to do this. And what a joy it is to be married to Betty. What a joy. We're going to be 44 years married this fall. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. And it gets better all the time. We were just talking to Al and Stephanie the other day, at least to Al, talking about how the kids get old and move out of the house, right? You know, keep the relationship strong while the kids are there. When they move out of the house, you go, now the fun starts. Right? Keep it going. Keep the flame alive. Take it from me. Amen. Now, may I say today that God the Father draws us to himself. He's done all the work. He's done everything, all the glorious work to ensure that we would be drawn to him, drawn to him. And of course, I could have turned down Betty. She could have turned down me. But we made this thing go, and we made it work. And the same thing with you and I. We've got to make this work. And now Jesus is the focal point of this whole wide world. And the Father sent his Son so we could see Jesus, to be drawn to the Father through Jesus. You know, we all know about the business world. Have you ever heard the term middleman? Middleman is the guy that goes to the one who manufactures the product, or as we used to be in New Brunswick, who would catch the lobster. And they go in and they say, well, okay, for the lobster, I'll give you $2. And so the middleman would take that lobster, the $2, and take it over to somebody who's going to put it on the store shelf and say, okay, I'll sell you this lobster for $10. $2, $10. And when you get to the store, what do you buy a lobster for? $50. Yes, you pay a lot of money for it. He's the middleman. Sometimes we think they're connivers and shysters and everything else, but the middleman is the one who goes through all the government regulations and all the things that are to be told and specifications and so forth. So it gets to your shelf, and the middleman has brought it there, but they probably made some money. Now, I don't want in any way, shape, or form that Jesus is a business middleman, but he is the spiritual middleman for you and I in our lives. He is the greatest middleman that you and I could ever meet. He's the one who stands before heaven and earth, right in the middle. His name is Jesus, and I thank God for Jesus standing. The Bible calls him the advocate, the mediator, the savior, the redeemer, the one who hangs upon a cross between heaven and earth, and he's dying for our sins. He died for our sins. He is the bread of life. Came down from heaven. He's the bread of life. And that's why it says in John chapter 12, verse 32, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples unto myself. He's drawing, drawing. The Father draws. Thank God that when we are drawn, there's a great blessing to be drawn, isn't there? Aren't you glad today that you've been drawn? Jesus sought your heart and started drawing you. Aren't you blessed today? Imagine, God loves you and I that much that he would take the time for you and I in our lives, wherever we were, whatever we went through, however we were living, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for the ungodly. He was drawing us to himself. You know, I think that God does everything that's possible to get people to himself. Have you ever prayed those prayers? God, whatever it takes, bring my family in. You ever prayed like that? God, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. You know, I've told God, you know, whatever it takes, if God, you have to take me out of this world to get my two brothers to think about you, then go ahead and do it. Whatever you need to do. I know where I'm going, but if they need to get saved, God, do whatever it takes. So we pray those prayers, and we pray over our families. We pray over our loved ones, you know, and God will do whatever it takes. I like those words. He draws, he drags, forces, persuade. I can remember a Bible college professor at Eastern Pentecostal Bible College and told us that, you know, one of the greatest things that a pastor can do is see people get saved, to lead people to Jesus Christ. That's one of the blessings that you and I could have, to see our family, that you could actually sit down in a home somewhere and lead your brother or sister, mom or dad or son or daughter to Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, you'd walk away just so thrilled. All of heaven is rejoicing. You should be rejoicing as well. But I believe that God will do everything to bring people in. And so this Bible college professor said, you know, as pastors, you'll be getting into the pulpit one day. You know, and people in your churches will be just like raising children. How many know that when you have more than one child, there no two are alike? And that's the same way it is in congregations. No two are alike. Sometimes you got to knock somebody on the head to get Jesus in there. Sometimes you need to kick them a little bit and say, come on. Receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Sometimes you got to drag them up to the altar. Sometimes somebody else says, are you coming to the altar? I'll go and I'll take you up there. Whatever it takes to get somebody to Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what we have to do. Sometimes they'll just be weeping and you got to say, well, what are you crying about? I want Jesus. Bring them to the altar softly. Sometimes they'll be laughing at the preacher. You get them to the altar and drag them up here. We'll get the laughter out of them. Bring Jesus in and give them the joy of the Lord. Amen. You just get them to Jesus. Whatever happens, that's what this professor says to us. Sometimes you just need to drag them, knock them on the head, push them, pull them, prod them, anything else. But any way you can get people to Jesus, you do it as a pastor staying in the pulpits. Amen? Yeah. So anyway, if you need a drag this morning, if you need a kick in the pants and you don't know Jesus, I'd be happy to do that for you, okay? I mean, God the Father knows just what we need in our lives to help us to realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God that the Father is drawing us. Amen? Some of us are tough nuts to crack, aren't we? How many did it take the first time that somebody witnessed to you came into the kingdom? Or did it take time and time and time and invite and invite and invite and invite? Some of us are really tough nuts to crack, aren't we? Thank God. God is in the nut cracking business and he knows how to bring people in. All of us are nuts for Jesus anyway. But that's why Jesus came. As I study the Word of God, I found the New Testament has three different words for this word draw. You know, it's interesting because we read an English Bible and we see the word draw and we just have that first connotation, the first understanding of what draw is. As I started studying this word, I realized there's more than one understanding of this word draw. And I found there was three Greek words in the New Testament that represented this. The first one is that Greek word helkō, to drag, literally draw, compare, drag, force, or persuade. There's another one, it's prosirkomai. To approach, come near, visit, worship, assent to, consent, draw near, go near to, unto. Beautiful word. And as we entered into church today, I don't know about you, but I came in here, I wanted to draw near to God. I wanted to draw near to God with God's people. I mean, we can't have this kind of a setting over at any grocery store. We couldn't go into some business enterprise going on in the city of Cornwall, have what we're having right now. So I look forward to coming to church because we have something when we come in and sing the songs and worship. I mean, in fact, we do anything and everything to cause worship in this place. We become quiet at times when we come into church. Thank God that we can be quiet for a few moments. We can get loud in church. Isn't that wonderful when you get loud and we worship the Lord Jesus Christ? We worship him audibly. We worship him with no words at all. We just know he's there with us, just standing there in awe of God, just knowing that he's with us. We play music. We inspire us. We lift up his name. We lift up our hands. We praise him with our audible voice. We invite his presence. Holy Spirit, come. Some of those songs that we sing, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We desire you. We want more of you. We draw closer to him. So that's the word prosirkomai, to approach, come, near, visit. Beautiful thing to have that in God. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. This is where this word is used. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. Let us draw near with a true heart. And so we worship. So we worship him in spirit and in truth. We draw near to God. We bring our lives, we bring our sacrifices of praise, we bring our offerings, we draw near to God. And there's other scriptures that represent that same prosurkomai. But there's another word about draw. In the Greek, it's engizo, to make near, approach, be at hand, come, draw near, be nigh. And you look at those and they're very similar, but yet there's a little bit of difference in all those words. You know, it's amazing that in our Greek we have different words for the same English word. And that's why it's good that we get into the Word of God and study it and study it and study it and know the Word of God, because sometimes we need to have some Greek help alongside of us to get into some of these words to help us understand things more. Now, in this very scripture, engizo, in the Greek word, if you were to go to James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This is where this word is used. The whole scripture from verse 6 to 8 is, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This word engizo appears 42 times and has many concepts or uses in the word, but a powerful one is found in James that I just read to you about drawing near to God. Whether it's to worship, to meditate, or just get to know God better, we just love to know him. That's why we draw near to him. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19 says, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. It's the bringing in of a better hope because we draw near to God. You want your hopes rise this morning? You want to go to a different level of God? Draw near to God. You want your hopes inspired? You got things going on in your life, but you just need to see an intervention of God? Draw near to God. Engizo. See, when we come to this table this morning, we are coming by our own free will. Our own free will. We want to come to this table. I desire to come to this table. This is not just something we do. This is something I love. I love to come to the table. I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know God in a deeper way because God has saved us. So we draw nigh to this table to remember, to place ourselves deep in worship because he's the one who died for us on the cross. His name is Jesus. Jesus. So here are two powerful things that God has presented to our lives. The initial act of you and I, when we're unsaved, when we're walking around in sin and don't even know God, is that God is drawing us to himself. Isn't that beautiful? That's truth number one today. As I said, these things aren't going to be really deep, but you already know about them, but I don't think that sometimes we understand them or fully realize what's happening. God is drawing people. You know, when you speak to somebody who's not saved, God's drawing them. He's just using you as a vessel. He's trying to get you to get some words into their heart so the word would not return void unto the Lord. He's putting the word of God into their heart, so God is drawing them. He uses vessels. He uses us as conduits. But secondly, as God has drawn us to himself, now we draw near to God. This is the part a lot of Christians, I don't believe, are doing. This is the part that I believe that we fail so often to do in our lives, is drawing near to God. You know, and James says, you have not because you ask not. Why is that? Because we don't draw nigh to God. We're not coming to God. We're not talking to him. We're not praying. We're not doing the things we should be doing. Sometimes we say, oh, Pastor, I just can't get through this. This is a real rough time. Have you drawn near to God? No, I'm trying to do everything by myself. I tried this. I tried that. I pulled this out of the air and it did everything else. Have you tried God yet? Have you drawn near to God? See, a lot of times I think that we're going through things in our lives because we're not drawing near to God. God's got plans and purposes in our life, and we try and do it all on our own. It's our own plans and our own purposes. God wants us to do something which He has ordained. I want to walk in the steps of God. He's already ordained the steps of the righteous man. He's already put in place the things that you and I will do in our life. I want to walk in those steps. I want to follow His steps. And I believe that we're losing out so often because we're not drawing near to God. We're not drawing near to God. So how about today? Do you want to draw near to God? When we come to this table, you need to say to God, I want to draw near, not just to a table. I want to get deeper in you. See, Jesus did everything He needed to do. God has done everything that He needed to do for you and I. But now it's up to us. So sometimes we miss out so much in life because we're not drawing to God. You know, we live in a darkened world. It's so easy to see that all this world outside of us, they're trying everything. You know, we came in this morning and I heard, Make America Great Again. You know, what are we doing to make America great again? What are we doing to make Canada a nation under God? How can we do all these things? Well, let's try the business stock market. Let's try this over here. Add jobs to that there and everything else. I mean, governments, they do all the things that they can do. But what about the Christians? What are we doing to make Canada great again and to make it a great country? Amen? What are we doing? God's done everything. It's up to us now to draw ourselves deeper and deeper in Him. But I believe that this world is so darkened. The unsaved hearts, people around us, they don't even realize that they're unsaved. Why? The heart is deceitful above all things, says the Word of God. Who can understand it? They don't understand it. So it's only by the mercy and the grace and the power, the drawing power of God to each and every person. Amen. Would the worship team come, please? What a unique opportunity to celebrate what Jesus has done for us. The bread of heaven has come down for you and I, and you and I have this wonderful salvation that's been placed in our life. Aren't you glad today that God drew you? Aren't you glad today that God pulled you and prodded you and kicked you and whacked you on the head maybe at times to get this tough nut over to the cross and confess his sins and to bend the knee and confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? Aren't you glad that God put everything in our way to make us think about Him, to make us see Jesus? Thank God. James 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. The magnet's in our hand now. He's already done His work. The magnet's in our hand. You want to draw near to God? Get the magnet working. Get it working. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You this day for the wonderful power of heaven, that God, You love us so very much, that You draw us. What a blessing that is, Lord. We are Your creation. We've been created to worship You. We've been created to give You praise. And it feels so good when we've been drawn to the place where we should have been in the first place. It feels so good when You drew us to that place where we confessed our sins. God, there could be nothing greater than when we take that moment and give You our hearts and our lives. So beautiful. So wonderful, Jesus, that You laid down Your life for us. So as we're drawn to this table this morning, Lord, we are just doing our part. We're the magnets back in our hands, and we're coming. We're doing this in remembrance. We're just saying, God, we love You so very much that we're drawing near to You. And we keep that channel open. That's why we keep coming to this table. We do it in remembrance of You. We remember how You drew us. And so now we're drawn. We're drawing to You. We're drawing to You. We're drawing to You. So God, as these emblems are distributed this morning, would You just bless, oh God? Would You bless? I know it's a piece of bread. It's a cup of juice. But God, as we somehow have this instinct within inside of us because we've been drawn to God, help us to realize this is a moment of spirituality. This is a moment of sincerity. This is a moment of gratefulness. This is a moment of holiness and righteousness. That God, we thank you so much that you've drawn us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Jesus, that you were so obedient that you went to the cross to die for us. Thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life for us. Here we sit in a church in 2017, singing songs about you, reading the word, and looking at the instances where you were in conflict with people, like in John chapter 6. People even walked away from you, Lord, as John chapter 6, verse 66 says, they left you. But God, here we are, so grateful, Lord, for salvation. Lord, help us to walk this walk. And Lord, we want to get the magnet out, and we want to be drawn to you, Lord, and draw back. We want to draw near to you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for your broken body. Thank you, Jesus. You mean so much to us. You're our life. You're our life. So God, help us in these next few moments to just stay in that place of worship. Stay in that place of examining ourselves, looking inward. And if we need to confess something, Lord, help us to confess it and say, God, forgive me. I didn't do this. I should have done that. I could have done this. Could have done that. Help us, Lord God, to be everything that you want us to be. Because there's people outside this church who don't know you. Help us to be all that we can for you, Jesus, because you became everything for us. The bread of heaven come down from heaven. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for that bread of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Would the board come forward, please, at this time? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the word. Thank you for the drawing power. Thank you that you love us that much. Jesus, that you laid down your life for us. Hallelujah. For 2,000 years, the church has been coming to this table, Lord. They've been doing in remembrance of something which was so meaningful to their lives. God, as we are here in this church today, Lord, this is something that has impacted our lives. That the Savior of the world died for us. As we come to this table this morning, Lord, our lives are changed. Our lives are changed because of you. So we take delight today, Lord, to remember what you've done for us, to remember that great salvation that you put in our lives, that you changed us, fashioned us, made us new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so blessed today because of you. So God, thank you. Thank you, Father, that you sent your Son, Jesus. Paul said, I've received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's partake of the cup together. Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you. Draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. Yes, draw me, Lord. Father, thank you so much this morning. Let us come running after you, Lord. Never leaving you, Lord. You've done everything for us. We run after you. We run after you, Lord God. Help us to know a greater depth of that love every day that we exist, Lord. And we're looking forward to that day that one day we shall be with you in paradise. God, we long for that moment. But until that day, Lord God, here we are on earth. You've got plans and purposes for us. You've got things for us to do. So we run hard after you, Lord, so we can complete those tasks that you've called us to do. As we go from this place today, Lord, help us to remember that the drawing power of God is essential in our lives. But thank you, God, for drawing us. And that we will draw ourselves near to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you.